off stage and on the air, performance number 586. Mi nombre es Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my able-bodied, fair-skinned, lovely-haired co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at koop.org. And remember, folks, during the pandemic, we are homegrown and pre-recorded. Stick around.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. On the show today, we have Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps dictating their views on the state of Broadway musical theater and Broadway show tunes. Later on in the show, we're going to have a little politics talk. So stick around. We'll be right back after this song, because we're closed for renovation. We're closed for renovation, Nicole.
That made me really happy that you chose that song, because it's one that I don't think gets played enough from Little Shop, and it's a really great tune.
I know, you know, I have to admit that you are correct, and I have to admit that when I found that, when I said, I hardly even remember that song.
Oh, it's when they get all excited.
Because... Oh, I know when it is. I said, okay. I hardly remember, but
I love it.
I hope everybody enjoyed that.
I love it.
Yes, me too. I played that because up until, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Broadway theater season was going to start in the beginning of 2021. And that's no longer the point. No longer the case, is it?
Ooh, there's a big announcement on early Friday morning.
A BA.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting. Friday is when big announcements tend to drop. So as a marketing person, why is that?
It's not really when it used to be. I have noticed in the pandemic, they're sliding it in so people aren't paying attention, because that is not normal, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. So anyway, it...
You stick it in normally so people don't pay attention, but so mm-hmm. I don't get it.
So now Broadway is going to try to reopen in May of 2021, in the springtime.
June 1st, because they're closed now.
June 1st, right.
May 30th.
You're correct. Sorry. I have been corrected. Doesn't happen often. Yes. But so the end of May, the beginning of June, really the beginning of June. Why don't we just say it?
Next summer.
Let's just call it the summer. It's not even the spring anymore.
No.
So next summer, so almost a year, you know, 9 months away from now. So, how do you feel about that, Nicole Shiro?
I don't get it. I mean, I'm wondering, is it more about they can't get stuff together to make anything before then, or?
Well, according to the article in the New York Times, it's because we will not be in a position to fully open.
Well, I get what the article was in the New York Times.
So the reason is financial. They can't make any money.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. So.
Well, but it's gonna filter down, and you know that here in Austin, as we talk about quite often, that I'm. Oftentimes talking to the other theater companies, and you know, I know Ground Floor Theater is probably going to be May. We're prepared for February, but we're thinking it's going to be May before we open. And the bottom line is, it all comes around this vaccine, and then having the time to distribute the vaccine. So,
I don't know.
Well, you know, we have gotten, I've talked about it on the show before. We here in Austin and other places have gotten very creative. And I do want to talk about, so we're going to mix the local and the national all at the same time this time. You know, the Shroods have this ongoing series called Letters from Camp, where they actually write letters and send them to people. Mm-hmm. My neighbor Maureen signed up for the, the full ride, everything. They're
we
the
got
highest
all
thing.
The letters.
So she's been sending me the letters, and I've been reading them. They're quite clever, and they're really
I
a lot of fun.
Have you gotten to share? That's exciting.
Yeah, they're really a lot of fun. Oh, I wish I had one down here. I would read part of it, but it's a young person writing to their grandmother, I think. And it's really fun, and there's some mysterious stuff going on. We're gonna find out as we go.
It is
spooky month, as I learned on John Oliver's show last night.
Spooky month.
So that's that. And then it's too late for those listening to this right now, but Vortex had a very successful run with Odyssey, and that was done. It was actually, there was an online, two different things, really.
Right, there's two portions, kind of.
Yeah, but they were kind of connected, and yet they weren't. They were all, right. they were both around mythical characters, but they were very, very different.
They were almost supplemental to each other in a way.
And fortunately, I wasn't able to go to Odyssey because I was out of town, which we're going to talk about in a second, but I was able to watch from my hotel room in Montana the online version, and I just need to make sure that I have the correct name of the online version. And of course, all my emails with Melissa Vogt don't mention the name, but I'm going to find it before we finish here.
Oh yeah. I don't remember offhand either.
Yeah.
Knickers.
Odyssey. Oh no, not Odyssey.
No, Odyssey was the drive-through.
Right. Right. It's Odyssey Underworld. There was Odyssey and Odyssey Underworld. So I saw Underworld. It was quite clever. There were lots of rooms you could go to. There were three rooms that were live where you could go and talk to people. I did not do that because
went into the other portion.
I find that intimidating. I did go into one room. I forgot which room it was. Oh, it was about Cerberus, the dog. Ruff, 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 the three-headed dog.
Yes.
So you have ruff, 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 ruff. That three-headed
what
was
that,
dog.
Lisa? What do you have?
Ruff, 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 ruff. That's the three-headed dog. You can actually pull that and make that your ringtone if you like.
That's phenomenal.
So I went in there and got intimidated and left because they started making fun of me. They didn't really. I'm teasing about that. No, they were very.
When do you ever get intimidated?
Oh, I get intimidated all the time. You intimidate me.
Get out of here.
I'm not. I'm staying right here.
No, that's not true.
So, you know what? Since we're going to do music, let's do music. Is there anything that you would like to hear musically? And then tell me what it is and tell me why you want to hear it.
I'd like to hear Stick It to the Man.
Stick It to the Man. Okay.
From School of Rock.
I know. Why did you want to hear that?
Because who doesn't want to hear Stick It to the Man?
Well, I'm just going to say that in this era of political stuff, I want to stick it to the man right now.
There you go. And the kids will sing it for you.
All right. So let's listen to the kids singing Stick It to the Man. Here it is.
When the world is screwed
stick
you.
Stick it and to the man. The best was after I made my mom go see that in New York City. She called me from the train singing that song like with everybody listening to her on the train, and she goes, "That was just so good." And I'm like, "Thanks, Stick It to the Man on a train."
You liked that show, didn't you? You saw it with the original cast.
I did. Didn't you and I go see it together too?
I think we saw it here. Yes. Was it here?
I saw it in Houston because I actually went and worked on the Houston.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it. Who knows?
And then I saw it. No, Shannon and I saw it in Houston because I was there doing press with them there, and then. I don't know if I thought you and I went and saw it, and I did see the New York, and yeah, I just love it. I love that movie. That's another one of those movies I could watch.
Well, you also love almost anything with peanuts in it.
It makes me happy.
I will say though that for people that don't speak Nicole Ease, if it's a peanut, it's a young child or it's a child.
Yeah, the youth. I just like children, like seeing talent. Wait,
excuse me. Did you just say Ute?
Ute. The Ute.
So did you see that the Tony nominations will be announced tomorrow on Thursday? Did you see that?
Will the sun come out tomorrow too?
I doubt it. You know, the Tony Awards, this should have happened ages ago. They've been sillily quiet about everything.
Sillily quiet. And then when you and I were like, they announced they weren't doing anything, and then they were, and you and I were like, what? And then you can't even have all the categories because there's not enough show. It's just wackadoodle.
So we've said this on the air before, but the potential nominees for new musicals are Little Jagged Pill, Moulin Rouge, The Lightning Thief, and Tina, of which only one of those has original music.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
So good. New plays are Slave Play, Inheritance, and The Sound Inside, which I think that's going to be a tough one. Although, well, I would assume all three would be nominated.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be done on the Tony's YouTube channel on Thursday. Let's see if there's a time. James Monroe Englehart, who you love, is going to be announcing them. And don't see a time.
I think it was like in the morning.
It's usually early. Yeah, it's usually early in the morning.
Some weird time that I was like, okay.
So they still don't really have how they're going to present and what that's going to take. And it's really weird. The Drama Desk Awards.
Yeah, the only thing I know about the awards or anything is the man directing it, and he directed the Democratic debate, and that's all I know.
Yep. So it'll be interesting. It's sort of a blank show, if you will. An S show, as they say. So let's just take 1 minute and listen to the Tony Awards show. The Tony Awards song, which I play here a lot, I know, from title of show. Here it is. All right, that's cute. That's all you can say about that. Cute, cute, cute. Which, by the way, is do you like Jacques Brel is alive and well and living in Paris?
I do. It's so funny you said that. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. There was a period that I was really obsessed with that show and the music. And I recently just thought of it and was like, oh, I haven't listened to that album in a while. And oh, I haven't thought. Yeah. How do you feel?
I like it. I mean, I have to admit that I'm showing my ignorance. Years ago, I knew the name of the piece and I knew some of the songs. I had no idea it was just a song cycle. I thought it was a show. I thought it had a narrative, but it doesn't. It's just the songs of Jacques Brel. But he's a very clever lyricist, and the music is lovely.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's funny. It was also, I think, another cycle of where people were doing it a lot. And now it's one of those, why aren't you doing that? It's a great show, especially now in this time when you don't need a lot of people.
Yeah, I would like to say that that the first time I saw it was when I first moved here, and Austin Playhouse did it at their theater on Penfield, and and they were on the show. So let's go to one more song. We're going to play "The Plagues" from The Prince of Egypt. Okay. You know what? Because we're going through it right now. Here's "The Plagues" from The Prince of Egypt.
Once again, you are the only one you see.
That was very plaguey.
I haven't listened to that. That's another one I haven't listened to or had come through rotation or anything in a long while.
So let's talk about Second City. That's kind of sad.
Oh, so, you know, I went to Columbia College and the head of my theater department was one of the founders and my teachers were part of it. I spent a lot of time there.
Columbia College, by the way, everybody is in Chicago. It's at the corner of Balbo and Michigan. amongst other places.
Well, that's just part of the campus.
I said amongst other places.
Yeah, some's way up north. Which, and if people are like, what? It's the big fountain in the beginning of Married with Children. The big, like.
I don't think I've ever seen Married with Children.
Even if you went to change a channel, it was the very first thing you saw before.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that. So, continue your statement.
So Second City, obviously being closed, was struggling, and they were looking for a partial new owner. And now the entire thing is up for sale. I mean, that's where I saw Amy Sedaris and half of basically almost all of the SNL cast you will see on SNL is started out there at some point way earlier.
Before Second City, huge farm team for SNL. At the beginning, but then it's like currently it's been a lot of
Groundlings.
Well, the Groundlings in Los Angeles and whatever that thing, the New York company that's underneath the D'Agostino's on in Chelsea.
Oh,
UCB. Yeah. So, but really the first, that's where the first Saturday Night Live people came from. John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner. Those are all Second City people.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
So I
really great things on Friday night. You know, they had two shows a night for the public, and then on Friday nights at midnight, you could go get in line at 11 and get in this lottery, and then you went into a free show, and it was kind of really just a free for all, and it was so audience and performer interactive and off the cuff, and it was just an amazing experience. Hopefully someone good will
hope so, but I mean part of the you know, if it's going to go corporate, that's just going to be kind of sad because it,
well, there's so many good Chicagoans. Maybe a Gary Sinise of the world of Chicago and comedy will save it. What do I know?
Sure, he'll take his time from the Steppenwolf and run over to Second City. I'm all for it.
One of those kind of, you know, I don't know.
I know. I would say Mike Ditka, but I just learned he's a Republican. Wait, we're going to talk about that later. So I have to admit that in my 10 years in Chicago, I went to Second City a couple times, but it was student showcases and things like that. I don't think I ever saw the main stage. But one of the things that Second City did, and they may have been among the first to do this, was really encourage people in marketing and corporations to take improv classes, mm-hmm. as a way to, well, do so much, but really a way to think on their feet, to work with others as a team, so many things that improv does for you. So I hope that it finds good owners as well.
Yeah, I do too. That's a bummer. That one got me. I was like, whoa.
It's a bummer, dude. So look, let's we're going to have to take a break, but we're going to go out with Randy Rainbow and Patti LuPone singing If Donald Gets Fired. And that will kind of lead into our second half. Have you heard this yet?
Yes, I have.
So it is actually a fundraiser for ACLU.
I thought it was fundraiser, wasn't it?
It was indeed. But it's fun to see Patti and Randy together. Let's give it a listen, and then we're going to go to break.
He just pours gasoline in the fire constantly.
Vice President Biden,
you look at the polls, I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time because they saw what you did.
I'm having a panic attack.
You and me both.
Oh my God, Patti LuPone, what are you doing here? I'm busy.
When gay men are in crisis, I just materialize.
Patti, I'm getting nervous. What if this gets reelected?
Not you. You gotta think positive, doll. Imagine how much better life would be if Trump got dumped.
Shafted?
William Howard Tafted.
If Donald got fired, we could go back to life as we once knew it. Miserable and unfair, but at least without the daily threat of complete authoritarianism and apocalyptic destruction.
Wouldn't that be nice?
If Donald got fired according to plan, just think of the things I could do. I'd stop having nightmares about Kellyanne and finally sing songs about somebody new. If Donald got fired.
If Donald got fired, would that be sublime? I'd put down my bottles and balls. I'd be back on
instead of cheap internet parody songs.
Excuse me?
Nothing. If Donald got fired,
President Trump did a phenomenal job.
Donald, quit running your scam. There's nothing to tout.
You're no Abraham.
Donald, we're all in a jam. Please get the hell out and take Lindsey Graham.
It would be so nice if he lost on Election Day.
I'd build him a new wall.
I'd pay for his new hall.
And I'd let Melania stay.
Really?
No. Oh, Donald, please go far away. If Donald got fired, there wouldn't be any more wreck. Less old complainy dick.
He will destroy this country.
No more smug elites.
Whee! No more glitch tweets.
Whee! Fake news. Fake news.
Look, Daddy, I'm the worst president. Love me, love me.
Donald, the truth might be tough. The polls all project. We've all had enough.
Donald, don't stand there and scoff. With all due respect, please kindly.
I'm not gonna do that.
I hope we choose right. The future's so dark and unknown.
There's nothing we cannot do if we do it together.
But there's no deciding. I'm riding with Biden.
I'm voting for Patty LuPone.
Yes, Queen!
Oh, Donald.
Girl, just vote.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If you don't like who's in there, we'll vote them out.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Letha and Nicole and... That was a test to see whether you come up with something. I'm going to just say Sophie.
Oh, I was like, oh my gosh, did I miss what we're doing here? We didn't discuss this.
So, folks, I need to say this right away. The opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are that of the host and co-host and the show itself. It does not reflect on or doesn't necessarily reflect the views of the station, the board of directors, or the staff of Co-op. I don't often get totally political. Early voting started yesterday in Austin, Texas, and we've talked a lot about voting on this show. Did you vote yesterday, Nicole?
No, I did not want to go on the very first day. I want people to figure out the kinks in the plan.
I did. I voted at 9 a.m. And it was really great. There was somebody there. They had a red carpet filled wheelbarrow that I sat in and they wheeled me in.
They wheeled you in? Did you have sparklers in the wheelbarrow too?
There were no sparklers, but there were pinwheels all around it, red, white, and blue. And they wheeled me in and they dumped me in front of the judges there where I filled out all my cards and a burly gentleman picked me up and carried me to the voting machine. He was dressed in PPE completely from head to toe and put me in front of the voting machine. And then they got that. Did you see Get Smart with that cone of silence?
I did.
The cone of silence came down over me and put me in a little bubble and I filled out my ballot.
Cracking me up.
Of course, that's not true because we're recording this on Sunday. So it hasn't been voting day yet. So, but I plan to go at 9 a.m. on the 13th. That's my plan.
Yes, I went in the Travis County has all the early polling places located everywhere.
They do.
And then they even have little ballots so you know what you're voting on in what area, and you can get sample ballots and then check everything out.
And you know what? Folks can go to offstageonair.com and get a link to the voting sites. And it is important for you to vote, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. Please, please vote. That being said, I encourage you to vote on the Democratic side. I have never been one for voting straight ticket. But if there is a time to vote straight ticket in any time ever, this is the time to vote straight ticket. You really want to vote Democrat down the line. We need to have clear-headed politicians running our country.
There you go.
She's got nothing to say. Well, I'm going to keep going then. I just watched the MJ Hager-John Cornyn debate, and MJ Hager is a wonderful candidate. She is articulate. She's smart. She cares about immigrants, working people. She is a working person. She's a single mom. Oh, I don't think she's a single mom. She's a mom. She sends the peace sign to everybody.
Got two kids.
I knew what you're doing.
Purple Heart recipient.
And then Wendy Davis, our tried and true person who spent 20 some odd hours on the floor of the state Senate for reproductive rights. She's running for Congress against Chip Roy. And so these are all people to vote for. But really, the judges, the railroad commissioner, all these people all the way down the line are really, really important.
We have senators, we have state representatives, district judges, we have city council. We have only one proposition. I kept feeling like I was.
We have Proposition A. I think there's a Proposition B, but I thought so. It's only one.
That's what I did. I only saw A.
Prop A, and let me tell you something about that. Since we are, and I'm just going to repeat that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the air are our own, not that of the station, the staff, or the board. Prop A is really important. We have voted down comprehensive transportation bills twice in the past. We, as a city of Austin, should already have light rail running all over the place. But no, we like our cars. We like our gasoline. So we voted it down. Now is not the time to do that. Gasoline is bad on so many different levels. The only thing good about it is it employs people. And that's important as well. But new and reusable fuels will also employ people. Please, please vote for Prop A.
There is a Prop B. I was wrong.
Ha! You were what?
Wrong. Page two, I kept thinking there was and wasn't, but it was on the page two, and that's why I couldn't.
So I do want to play one other thing here from Amanda Klutz, who is the wife of Nick Cordero, who passed away from after really long, horrific battle with COVID-19. And long fought. And it was recorded after Trump came out saying how wonderful COVID was to him. And this was on Entertainment Tonight, and they took what she posted and put it against Trump's own words. And so let's take a moment and listen to that.
On Monday, the president wrote in part, quote, "Feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life."
You guys, I'm honestly not a very political person. But this is really kind of hard to ignore. I'm sitting here in my house and I'm honestly frozen. I can't really even move. I couldn't believe what I read. Not everyone's lucky enough to walk out of the hospital after 2 days.
The single mom went on to explain why she still fears the virus.
We saw what this disease can do, so guess what? We are afraid. We are. I still am. And I think about, like, if I got as sick as Nick, you know, little Elvis, he doesn't have his mom anymore, so I'm afraid.
As for that whole part about not letting the virus dominate your life, yeah, Amanda wasn't feeling that either.
Let it dominate your life? No one's letting it. Nick didn't let it. It wasn't a choice. And it dominated his life. It dominated my life. It dominated our family's lives for 95 days. And because he didn't make it, it will forever affect my life. Even if he would have survived, it would have forever affected and changed our lives. It's beyond hurtful.
Nick died in July at the age of 41 after a 95-day battle with the coronavirus. During his time at the hospital, Nick faced a series of unpredictable complications that led to septic shock, an amputated leg, and a temporary pacemaker. But Amanda always kept her faith.
I feel like there is an army of people behind him, behind us, and I just believe, I get chills saying it, I just believe that he will wake up.
And on Monday, Amanda shared a message directed right at the president.
Have some empathy. Why are you bragging? Have empathy to the Americans that you are our leader. Have some empathy to the people who are suffering and grieving. It's just not fair to act like this disease is nothing and you got right over it. I'm so happy that you did. You know, thank God you did. But guess what? There are a lot of people that didn't.
It's just heartbreaking to hear her talk about that. And I have to agree. I don't think our president has done a very good job handling the COVID-19 crisis from start to finish.
I don't know how she's kept it together this entire time and is still just so well-spoken and like calm and just so eloquent in everything she says every time, no matter how hard the subject or detail is.
She really is. So I've put a call out on Facebook for anybody in the theater community from the more conservative side of things to come on and talk. And if we get someone that wants to do that, that's happening right now. So you have either heard or not heard somebody from an opposing view of mine. I'm actually hoping somebody does because this is radio and I believe in fair. I have no problem at all with people from the Republican Party. I have voted Republican in the past, and I believe in really good, thoughtful debate. The problem is, I believe in thoughtful debate. So,
That's not a problem, Lisa. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. I didn't. No. The
The
problem is, it doesn't happen anymore.
No, I know. So I'm giving you a yoo-hoo, Lisa.
So as we talked about last week and the week before, the Save Our Stages Act was in Congress and was ready to move on, and our president stopped it.
Yes.
So he stopped everything. He stopped everything so that they could concentrate on the Amy Coney Barrett nomination. And I think we have more pressing things to think about. The politics of the Supreme Court notwithstanding, they really should be concentrating on getting relief to people that need it. But that's not going to happen until after the election. And that's a shame and a crime.
Yeah, they already said it. They didn't like what was in the bill. I don't think it was because of Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh, no. But it wasn't. It wasn't. They could continue to talk about it.
But they're going ahead with all that tomorrow. So there's
They don't feel that they can do the two things at once. And, that's it. So kind of on the same vein, but kind of not, there is a push for a new national anthem. Did you read this?
No.
From a Bernstein and Lerner Broadway show called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which I had not heard of, because
I know this.
Well, there is no recording of it. It was what did I say about the recording was halted because I can't remember. There's a reason,
legalities or something.
No, either Leonard Bernstein or Alan J. Lerner said no, something in there. It's in the Wikipedia page. But it ran for 7 days in 1970, or 7 performances and 13 previews in 1976.
Oh, was that late? Really? Oh, I guess centennial. I get it.
It was co-directed and choreographed by Gilbert Moses and George Faison. And it examined the establishment of the White House and its occupants from 1800 to 1900, primarily focusing on race relations. The story depicted Thomas Jefferson's alleged affair with a black slave, James Monroe's refusal to halt slavery in Washington, and then Andrew Johnson's impeachment, amongst other things. But there was one song that came out of it that had some popularity and was recorded by a whole bunch of different people, including Barbara Streisand, called, oh my God, I lost the name of it. I didn't write it down, I did. It's right here. Sorry. It is called Take Care of This House, talking about taking care of the White House. Yeah. So it's very operatic in feel. We're going to play it right now. Julie Andrews sang it.
How come I don't know about this Leonard and Bernstein show? I mean, 1976, and
well, you're not alone. A lot of people didn't, and they made a lot of changes from their out of town tryouts. It was a show within a show, and then they took that out. But it has.
Has anyone ever done it since, or even the rights available?
There was a revival in 1992 at Indiana University Opera Theater production, and they used the pre-Philadelphia draft, which is the one with the show within a show. And it also played very briefly in 1992 at the Kennedy Center.
You just blew my mind today.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that I did. So some of the other singers of Take Care of This House was Frederica von Stade, under the direction of Bernstein for the inauguration of Jimmy Carter. It's been recorded by Judy Kay. I mentioned Barbara Streisand. It's on her album Walls. And then a bunch of opera singers. Other theater artists are Joanna Gleason and Kelly O'Hara. So
this is such a wide array of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's take a moment and listen to, let me find the article. There is a movement, I guess. And this is, from the New Yorker, of making, instead of the Star Spangled Banner, making a 1600, Take Care of This House, the national anthem. Well, let's listen to it. There it is. Okay, political section over. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is back to theater news with take kind of the politics out of it, but there is politics in theater as well. Did you see the big fight between Actors Equity and SAG-AFTRA?
Oh, yes, I did. I just stumbled upon that like late Friday, and I was like, wait, whoa.
Well, this has actually been going on for quite some time. So to fill folks in, you know, since the pandemic closed all the theaters, theater companies have been trying to find ways to do theater, and they've been doing them online, digitally, which is typically, from a union standpoint, jurisdiction. It's the jurisdiction of SAG and AFTRA. SAG being film, AFTRA being video, but they're now one union. And then Equity is for theater. Well, Equity is a little mad for several reasons. First of all, this does not contribute to pension, health, and welfare for the actors, the theater actors that are doing it. And the stage managers are really mad, really mad, because they have zero representation.
Exactly.
And that's basically what this article that you can see by Michael Paulson from the New York Times on October 7th was dealing with, a lot of the stage management issues that they're not covered at all. But they're, and I haven't read a lot of the details, but some of the podcasts I'm listening to, they're getting dirty. They're like, the gloves are off with these two unions.
I was just about to say, that's where it was. You were saying how it's going on for a while, but like, when I started reading and learning more about this, I was like, oh, gloves are off. Like, this is no hold barred. Like, we are just getting down and dirty and going for it. Okay. Yeah, I know. It reminded me, it's not the same thing, but it reminded me of digital music, and no one knew what was going on, and that whole wild west of trying to figure out rights and paying the artist, the producer, and downloading, and we're back here at another crossroads, and it's just theater and video and this digital world we live in.
Yeah, it's a little cray cray.
Plus, we're all cray cray.
We
state of the U.S. and then we're all cray cray because we've all been quarantined forever. So you just keep compiling it, and it's a good time.
It's a good time. So these are interesting times we live in, to say the least. Some of our listeners may or may not know that I spent the last week in the great state of Montana, doing work for the United States Census Bureau. And when you talk about this country, I mean, this is people and countryside and things like that I'm not accustomed to. Never have I lived in a place like Montana, with mountains everywhere, crystal clear rivers. The rivers are amazing. And I was going up into the mountains in my little four-wheel drive SUV to talk to people enumerate them for the United States Census. It was amazing. I had an amazing time. I spoke to people that did not think like I do. So many people with Trump signs and more conservative signs in front of their house, and they were absolutely delightful. I did not have a bad experience talking to anybody on, of course, we didn't get into issues that would show our differences, but just really great people. And I was going out into like areas of the world where people are off the grid completely. They do not like it. Or I say it, the people told me that they did not like it when you drove into their driveway, because they live up in the top of a mountain.
Like when I realized how far out you were driving, I was like, what's that have to be when you normally aren't getting people anywhere near your property and some strange car rolls in your driveway?
And you know what? Everybody was great. And the good news is because you're there, and I would always honk as I drove up because...
Well, they got to be curious.
Yeah, and they come out and they talk to me, and they were great. So, and I have to say, I spoke to Patty Neftivin, who's my co-artistic director at the theater, and I said, we are picking up stakes and we are moving to Anaconda, Montana, and we are opening a theater there.
Oh my gosh. I think my brother may have heard you in the other room, but what I said yesterday to my mother and my brother was, because we were all talking about how beautiful it looked in your video and we loved it. And I said, wait, when I talk to Lisa, she's going to let me know the town she's moving to in Montana and that she's starting a theater. I wonder what it is.
It's Anaconda.
Yeah, right on cue. You just did it.
Anaconda. Anaconda is charming. It's small and everything. But there is Missoula, Montana, which is a college town. It's a very cosmopolitan town. And as a matter of fact, one of the houses I called on was a condo built on at the Wilma Theater in downtown Missoula.
You got to see a theater there.
It's more like a roadhouse. So but it's a big one. It's like a 1,500 seat roadhouse. And I ran into the TD outside. So we talked about theater in Missoula and things like that. So it's just so refreshing. And almost every little town I came to had a live playhouse. Almost every single one.
That's
including
really cool.
Where I was staying in Deer Lodge, Montana.
Really?
I stayed in Deer Lodge, Montana.
I saw your, when we recorded the last week, we were looking out the beautiful window at your
that was actually
the leaves changed this week, didn't you?
Oh my God, the leaves were gorgeous. It made me miss
there.
Yeah, well, it was all that bright, brilliant yellow and orange.
Yeah.
And with that crystal clear air and the sun going through, it was really very, very magical.
Yeah, it's just I looking at you in the picture and video, I could feel it. And I was like, man, my soul would be so refreshed and so rejuvenated just standing in the majestic beauty of all that like you were.
Well, I will lead folks to a Ground Floor Theater's YouTube page. And I will put a link on our site, offstageonair.com. I just recorded a video showing me driving through the mountains. And then there's a little bucolic section with a river and a mountain and some goats.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. So that will be there for folks to listen to. Well, that's it for the show today. we'll be back next week with actual guests again. I don't know who they are, but I know they're coming. And in the meantime, vote. Please, please, please vote. Early voting starts yesterday. It starts yesterday. It started yesterday. Take the opportunity to go to early voting. It shouldn't be too crazy for 2 weeks, which is relatively long. Remember, if you have a mail-in ballot, there is only one drop-off point. It's on Airport Road.
No, that got overturned on Friday night. There's more.
It's still in the courts. This is Sunday, so who knows? Check and see. Currently, there's only one. So check and see. Join us next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And we're going to go out because I was just stuck on going back. Theater is going to start in spring and not summer. So just bear with me. From the musical Giant, Did Spring Come to Texas? Bye, folks.
Did spring come to Texas?
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to jump in and say that I did go vote. And it happened exactly as I described it earlier. Go vote! Exclamation point.